Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We're talking about bonds and interest rates, and how do you use this asset class going forward? Given the forecast, and I think that's maybe where we're going to start. We're joined by Jack McIntyre, who's a portfolio manager of global bond strategies for Brandywine. Jack, thanks for sticking around through the break. I appreciate that. Let's talk a little bit about is there an opportunity? What's the forecast going forward, right? Because we're in this ultra low interest rate environment, and the average person that we talk to thinks that, well, you can't own bonds anymore because you're going to get no yield.
Yeah, and let's add to that, because if you're making, let's say, 0.5% with a 10-year Government of Canada bond, or less than 1% or 90 basis points, I'm rounding up here, on the U.S. 10-year Treasury, after taxes and inflation, you're guaranteed to lose money.
Right.
So how do you make money in the global market? So Jack, let me bring you in on this one, because you look around the world, there's a whole bunch of opportunities, but there's also a whole bunch of countries that even have negative interest rates.
Yeah.
How the heck do you make money in the bond market right now?
Yeah, so you mentioned the operative word, global. So, I think it's going to be a challenging environment if you have a home country bias, because you're right. I mean, it's in the higher quality bond markets, Canada, U.S., some of the Europeans, you've got either low or, as you point out, negative rates. I think, the number in U.S. dollar terms equivalent, we're about $16 trillion, maybe even north of that, in negative yielding bonds. But that's not the entire bond universe. So, if you're focused on income, there are ways to get it. And hey, one of the things, again, it's not just government bonds. I think credit, still presents opportunities. Kind of shifting gears, focusing a little bit on U.S. investment-grade credit. Well, I kind of view what the Fed is doing, meaning they're a backstop. It somehow kind of equates investment-grade credit to being the new U.S. Treasury bond. Again, not in the sense that there's an explicit backing, but, hey, the Fed has, told us that they're going to buy these bonds, and if spreads were to widen, they're going to buy even more. They've just nibbled at their buying power if they need to. So I think there's more room for yield compression there. And then, it's been a bumpy road, but I still am a big believer in the developing world is becoming developed. So that's, sort of EM, emerging markets. But remember, emerging markets are not a homogeneous asset class. You've got some that are on the cusp of sort of being developed that still have a little bit of a yield premium. But again, I think we are still in a disinflationary environment, and that in and of itself will keep yields low and probably drive yields even lower. So, yeah, I think they still serve a role in asset allocation. And you still need, when we hit stress, good luck, having those sort of equities that, might pay a high dividend act as the port in the storm in your asset allocation. You need some high-quality bonds in your portfolio.
Jack, can you give us some examples around the world where you find very attractive right now, given the low interest rate market that we're in?
Yeah, and again, this is, when you do venture into the realm of emerging markets, and I'm not saying put everything in there, but, inherently you have to be willing to tolerate a little bit of volatility. So we like some Brazilian bonds, Mexican bonds. Again, this is not our entire portfolio.
Yeah.
We have high quality bonds in there, but I think to get that additional yield, and when I look at Asia, again, Malaysia, Indonesia, we need to bring China into play. Anything that has a global conversation, China needs to be incorporated. And in a world where China and the U.S. are doing well from a growth standpoint, and again, I think that will be the theme next year, that's a good backdrop for global growth. And that's going to motivate capital to gravitate towards yield. And there's a lot of markets that still offer a compelling yield. And again, bottom line is inflation globally is still on this glide path lower. And I think that's going to be the case.
And Jack, currency can play a role also. If you're talking about a global bond market, clearly you need to be currency sensitive, and you can either profit or protect from currency swings relative to, say, the Canadian dollar if you're a Canadian investor. And so I'd like you to speak to that just a little bit, and maybe just expand a little bit upon this idea of active management. So, clearly as a retail investor, you can't, through the retail bond desk, just go and buy Malaysian bonds, right? These are this is a more sophisticated market than I think many people are used to relative to, you know, just buying a stock, you know, at your computer screen. So maybe you could speak to those two points.
Yeah, let me answer the second question first, because I want to emphasize that, right, when I mention emerging market bonds, I'm not talking about anybody going out and buying individual bonds.
Yep.
And you know, you need to invest in a bond manager that has that expertise and has been doing it for a long time. And that's actually a segue into your question about currencies, because again, I get it. You know, this is my career for 30 plus years, so I've seen yields decline significantly, and you know, we need to have more levers to pull to generate returns in fixed income, and currencies certainly can be one of those. And again, currencies tend to be more volatile. They don't pay you a coupon. They're a form of zero coupon bond, so inherently they are going to be a little bit more volatile. But that scenario I just led with, an environment of global growth doing well, and again, we're making some assumptions that the pandemic, you know, at some point next year will become less important. Well, that's a good environment for a lot of the developing world. And I suspect those currencies should continue to strengthen. And look at the Chinese currency. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's been strengthening versus the U.S. dollar. And that's a good backdrop for emerging currencies in general. But again, same thing. Don't try and trade currencies yourself, particularly with the fixed income allocation in your portfolio. You know, defer that to somebody that kind of lives and breathes this stuff, and that's active global bond managers, and you know, active in the sense that, you know, we are, and we're not alone, but not wedded to any particular benchmark, because the problem is those benchmarks are skewed by the big issuers of debt, mm-hmm. and the big issuers of debt have very low yields or many cases negative yield, so it's not going to serve your the needs that you have as a fixed income investor.
So Jack, just one question, we got a minute left, and I'm not pinning you to a specific answer on this, but the question we get from a lot of investors is, with interest rates, as Faisal said, in you know, the 0.5% range for 10-year good quality credit, government debt, how do you make money in this? Is it still possible to get 2-4% rates of return in the bond market if you're thinking globally? And I'm not pinning you that there's a guarantee here, but yeah. Can you still make those kinds of returns given a global marketplace?
You can, because there's still some improving credits in the developing space that have yields in the 7-8% range. Again, I'm not saying don't put your entire portfolio in there, but it's a way of getting some yield kicker in that. And again, also, I think, though, in a, you know, even where rates are, there's nothing to prevent rates from heading even lower.
Right.
Again, it's just keep an eye on inflation. That will be the determining factor.
Jack, we got to end it there. Thank you. I can't do justice to the entire global bond market, but I think you've done a pretty good job in 20 minutes to sort of bring it to life. And I think I saw some fears that some people have that there's just no way that bonds can't be part of a portfolio going forward. They're still an important piece. Thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
We've been joined by Jack McIntyre, Portfolio Manager at Global Bond Strategies of Brandywine. Let's make sense of this. Because they do, people need income.
There's an important piece. They do need income. It's a low interest rate market, but it does provide a bit of a diversification and reduce volatility in a portfolio. The magic that we tell people to write down in their, for their retirement, in their growth investments, is losing less means you can make more.
Right.
And that's the problem when you put all your money in the stock market and it goes down, you're losing more.
Right.
By diversifying using fixed income, to a certain degree, well-managed, diversified, you're reducing that volatility, which means you're losing less. The recovery takes less time. And that's the stuff we're going to talk about at our seminar. And this is an online webinar Tuesday, November 17th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. That's morethanmoneyradio.com.
Okay, there's been a lot of people in this city affected by either job loss or the potential of job loss. And that's creating some fear around whether or not they're ready to retire. We're going to talk about how to prepare for that on the next segment. Stick around for that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.